my mouth. But then I got to thinking about that, and I thought about how many people are in the same situation when God tells them to do something. Yeah. And they're like, well, how do I start it? Well, you just open your mouth and you just do it. So I was like, okay. So here I am. But the Lord stuck this on my heart, and he's been dealing with this over a year. But it really started pulling it together over the last couple weeks when they first started talking to me about sharing. I was thinking Wednesday, I was okay, I can do a Bible study, we're good. And then all of a sudden Brandon goes, so we were talking, and what do you think about Sunday?
Okay.
I was like, well, with the word, I can see that. So, I just want to talk for a minute before we really get into the scripture. And just bear with me. It's going to seem like I'm all over the place, but I promise it comes together. Okay? All right. Most of us that have been in the ministry or been in church for a long time have heard phrases like being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled to overflowing, being refreshed, renewed. That happened last Sunday for these two. Happened last weekend for several others. We've also heard of phrases like, you know, I've had a rough season and I'm feeling a little dry. But have you ever thought of how you get there?
Hey, come on.
You know about the filling, you know about the anointing and what God does, but how do you get empty? Okay, so I've even heard several sermons about wineskins, old wine, new wine. New wine can't go in the old skins because it can't hold what's intended. Okay, so now let's talk about the vessel. And I love, God is so awesome that y'all brought those vessels today, because I kid you not, it goes right along. When you think about oil, water, anything like that, the vessel itself, brand new bottle is great. It lasts a long time. It can be used. You pray over it. You use it. It's fine, but over time, have you ever had oil in your pantry that you pulled out that you hadn't used in a while, and you open it up and you're like, nah, I need to buy some more. I can't use that. That's going to mess with what I'm cooking, right? Same thing happens with the spiritual vessels. Sometimes you got filled up a long time ago, but you've been kind of just chilling, just hanging out, hadn't really done a whole lot. Basking in the fact that God filled me. It was wonderful. I remember when. But the oil is starting to get stale. Those are the times it needs to be emptied out. The vessel needs to be cleaned and refreshed. Put new in. Because if you take new oil and you put it in with old oil, what's going to happen? It's going to contaminate it. Exactly. Look at that in a spiritual sense. Sometimes we have to get in our walk so empty. And if there's a little bit down there and we know we're dry and we are begging God to refill, these are the moments he's like, yeah, but you got to get that last little bit out first. You got to empty completely before I give you what's next. Because there's a time and season for refreshing the oil, because the oil is still good. Okay, we'll just top it off. He filled it up because it was needed and it was still fresh. It's still good. So he does that with us. Okay, we'll hold on to that for a second. Put that right here. Think about that. Old Testament. Most of the Old Testament, we talk about sacrifices and offerings and things that they were required to do. Well, when you look through the Old Testament scriptures, all of that was a physical act. They had to take the goat, the cow, the dove, whatever it was they were sacrificing, and take their wine and their oil as their blood sacrifice and their offering. That offering, especially in the liquid, was considered a drink offering. That's today's topic. We want to discuss the drink offering and its importance. There are several different ways to become a drink offering so that you can empty yourself. Through ministry, through serving, through giving of a word, talking to coworkers, anything along those lines, outreaches, that is all a way of emptying yourself. Every bit of it. But then there's also the worship side. Okay? Now, if you go to Philippians 2, 12 through 17, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But basically what this is Paul is discussing being light bearers, being basically the ministry itself. And down in 17, he says, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you." This was when he was talking to the group that he was with, saying he's ministering, he's serving, and I'm doing this with you because of your faith. He was pouring himself out in service. Okay. Now when you go to Genesis 35:14, this is actually the very first mention in the scriptures of a drink offering. I see what you mean. It's hot up here. Wow. Okay. So this is Jacob, and he had already had an encounter a couple of chapters before. If you read through Genesis, and I think it's 32, talks about his encounter with God when God touches his hip, and he's never the same. Okay, well, in 35, the Lord's telling Jacob to go back where he had that encounter. Go back to that spot. We need to go back over here, because what he does is he begins to talk to him about what's going on, and this is actually when he turns him and says, "You are no longer Jacob, you are Israel." So he had another encounter. And in this case, verse 14, "So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it." So basically, he had an encounter with God.
Right.
And he wanted to remember the location that he had it. So he brought these stones together and made a little pillar. Rock. It was rock. And he took his drink offering. It doesn't specifically say what it is. It could have been water. It could have been wine. Could have been anything. Doesn't matter. It was a drink offering.
Right.
And he poured it over it, and he offered it up to God. Said, "Okay, I was here. This is where you did this. I had an encounter. You changed me. You even changed my name."
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you go through the entire Old Testament, anytime the drink offering is mentioned, it's typically towards other gods. And there was a lot of correction and a lot of, all through all of the sacrifices and stuff, they were always being corrected about what they were doing. So if you go over to 1 Samuel 7, verse 2. So you've gotten through all of the offerings and stuff where they got corrected, because that's not how you want. I wanted you to do that. That's not what that was intended for. That was for me, and you gave it to another God. So in 1 Samuel 7, starting with verse 2, I'm going to read through 6. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Mizpah. This, even though it doesn't specifically say drink offering, they drew water out. And they poured it out before the Lord. They were asking Samuel, "Hey, dude, we made a problem. We had some issues. We're trying to fix this. What do we need to do?" And Samuel's like, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to offer a drink offering, a purification, to purify what happened." Okay. That was all the physical drink offering. Well, as we know, most of us, as you go through the scriptures, it begins to switch from physical to spiritual as you go through the Word of God, from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So that is why it is extremely important to understand the Old Testament, because they connect. There's a connection between the two, and most people miss it. So to be able to understand that, you know, Old Testament, you can call it history. Then you've got letters and prophecies and things that are coming. There's a lot of reflection that shows you what happened in the Old Testament. And they're like, "Okay, this is how we got where we're at." That's kind of what happens next. There's a beginning of the switch. It's the beginning of that switch. Luke 36. Now, y'all got to bear with me, because a couple of these scriptures get me all kinds of excited. So, especially when he broke it down. Most of us are familiar with this passage, but I want you to look at it in a fresh eyes today. It's 36 and 38 is what I'm specifically want to look at. This is the story of the woman with the alabaster box. It's a powerful story within itself about what happened and what Jesus did. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, starting in 36. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Like I said, bear with me. This gets me. She came in to Jesus. She didn't even get in front of him. She didn't get in his face. She was behind him to anoint his feet. She was not trying to be a spectacle at all. It was about getting her encounter. Jacob had to go to a specific spot to get his encounter. She went because she knew he was going to be there for an encounter. She anointed his feet. Jesus, the rock. And then she poured herself. This is the spiritual switch. She's still partially physical because she's anointing the rock, Jesus, because of her encounter. But the spiritual aspect is she is pouring her drink offering all over him and emptying out herself. Now, this does not mean you have to be in sin to pour out your drink offering. No, 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 no. It's an offering of who you are. What's inside? So she is at the feet of Jesus, anointing the rock because she wants to remember her encounter as she pours out herself, her own drink offering before the Lord. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, he became the final blood sacrifice.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And we know through reading the scriptures that the moment he took his last breath, the veil was torn.
Yes.
We were given complete access spiritually, to get into his presence and have an encounter for ourselves. Now, this next scripture, I didn't used to understand until I started digging at this. And then it was like, and I cried in his presence. I don't even know how long. Because watch this. John 19. Verse 33 and 34. He's already died. He's still hanging on the cross. 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he was seen, has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. He was already dead. He was the final blood sacrifice. And to ensure that he was at a point to take down, they stabbed him. I never really understood why the water came out until God started talking to me about the drink offering. So when he tells us that he's covered everything, he covered everything. He was the final blood offering on the cross. And he offered himself as the drink offering, which is why the water came out, because he had to fulfill both so that the spiritual switch could complete. So we have access to the throne room. We have access because he tore the veil. We have the ability to take ourselves as a sacrifice, because he says to die to self daily. That's us sacrificing our flesh. But we have something to offer too. Our service, our heart, the gifts that he put inside of us. He didn't put them there for any reason other than what he chose. It wasn't for you. It wasn't for you. It was for his service. It's for coming to the understanding of what is inside is meant to come out. It's meant to be poured out before him. It's not meant to entertain anybody. It's not meant to put so-and-so on a pedestal. It's not meant for somebody to look at you.
Come on.
Because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about Christ. So when you pour yourself out and you get into the, you got to do exactly what this lady with the alabaster box did, what Jacob did. Sometimes you're not going to get an encounter just by sitting there. You have to go for it.
Come on.
You have to go for it. And when you go for that encounter, what did they do? Both of them. They laid down before the Lord and poured themselves out.
That's good.
So if you ever hear somebody say, pour yourself out as a drink offering, you understand. It's an act of service, but it's also worship. Because you're offering yourself and everything about you. Whether you're having a bad day, whether you're having a phenomenal day, it doesn't matter. It's offering yourself and everything that's within. And if you are at that point where you are so dry, you're at that last little bit, those are the moments you really need an encounter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you need that vessel cleaned out so that he can refill it.
Amen.
And those are the exact moments that you have to get yourself into the throne room. Mm. You have to get yourself into the other side of the veil. Yeah. You have to get to his feet. You have to get in front of the Father.
Amen. Yes.
You have to.
Yes.
So if there's anything that you ever need from God, or if you need something in this moment, get into the throne room. Get into the throne room, because that's where you're going to have your encounter.
Oh, yes.
Those are the moments you're going to find him for yourself.
Yes.
To be able to. Most people are like, I don't understand. I don't know how. You just lay out before him. Just focus in on him.
Yes.
Get an image in your mind's eye, even if you have to ask him, hey, can I see your throne? Can I see it so that I know where I need to go? Search yourself. Take any opportunity you can. Because the minute you pour out those drink offerings, he'll refill you. He'll give you that new. And when you get the new, you get recharged and you're ready to do it all over again. And that's all he asks of us. So focus in on God.
Dream after dream, you are speaking to me, breathing word after word of kingdom God. Here at your feet, I can see the unseen. Truly, one look at you and I'm undone.
Jesus.
I run to the throne room. I run to the throne room. And I fall on my face with angels and saints. And all I can say is holy, holy, holy. Close by my side. throne room. I run to
to
If you're feeling a tug or any kind of movement within your spirit, even if it's something that you haven't felt before and you're not quite understanding what it is, don't ignore it. Now's the time, if you'd like, come forward. Get into His throne room. Sometimes you actually have to get up and move. Go to Him. If you have any needs today, we will pray with you. We will be up here.